Friday.
Yes, it is Friday. It's going to be a nice, cloudy, warm day.
Yeah, it's going up to 42. Come on, baby.
Put those shorts on. Let's go rollerblading.
Easy does it. The question is, will the weather be like this when the Super Bowl comes to town? We're about to start on Monday. We begin the two-week build-up to the Super Bowl. Festivities will slowly start happening. And we're getting some new information about yet another big-name celebrity who's going to be hanging out in Minneapolis, and he's actually going to be performing.
I'm really excited about this. Okay, so he's in talks right now for the Super Bowl pregame tailgate concert, and that person is Sting.
Oh.
That's huge.
That's pretty cool.
He's going to perform a number with his recent reggae collaborator, Shaggy, at the pre-Super Bowl gig on February 4th. And then other acts are also in talks for this yet-to-be-announced pregame show. So there's a lot going on.
I'll tell you what I'm learning is there are just so many different venues for musical performances that are going to be here. It'll be a week or a week and a half unlike anything we've ever seen in the Twin Cities, specifically in and around Minneapolis.
Yeah, because it's not just the performances, but there's also celebrity tastings going on. There's fashion shows.
There will be, if you have long thought, maybe you're born and raised in Minnesota and you've longed to take a trip out to Hollywood or New York City, but you've never managed to make it, just have a camera ready and hang out downtown. And I think some of those nights you'll need to hang out kind of late. You know, they're putting us on the party beat on Twin Cities Live, and we're helping out Channel 5 News, and we're the party beat. We do the party coverage. But man, oh, Shevitz, some of these parties start real late.
Oh, I know.
10 p.m., they're opening the doors.
I know. I don't go out after 4 o'clock.
You know what I mean? Once it gets dusk, I'm in.
Totally. Once Judge Judy goes off air, it's bedtime.
What is your favorite Sting song?
Oh, God. There's so many.
I'm going to hit you with Fields of Gold.
That's a great song.
Come on, right?
I really like the old school Police stuff, too.
Sure.
Send it out in SOS.
No,
Did it just sound like Sting?
Oh, God. Why can't I think of a good Sting song off the top of my head?
Did this just happen right now? I said Sting, and this is what it would be like if you were on a game show, Donna. This is the pressure that they feel. This is why people say stupid things. Name any Sting song for
$10,000. I know, and you're like, Shape of My Heart, I Can't Stop Thinking About You, If You Love Somebody, Fortress Around Your Heart. That's a good one.
That sounds...
When We Dance is good. Wow. Every Breath You Take, of course. I'm going back to the Police, though, I think. Yeah, so many.
Anyway, so
Gabriel's
he's going to... Say this again. It's going to be the tailgate...
Pre-game tailgate.
Do they say specifically where that's going to be happening? Is that
not yet.
A parking lot? Is that on Nicollet Mall? Where is that?
Not yet. It's going to be a different site other than the U.S. Bank Stadium, okay? That's all I can tell you. February the 4th.
Can I just help you? You just said the U.S. Bank Stadium, and so you're going to want to lose the... That's similar to saying the Facebook, okay?
I don't think so.
I just don't want you to say the U.S. Bank Stadium.
It's written right there.
Listen.
From the Star Tribune.
I would say
different
the same
site
to
than
them.
The U.S. Bank Stadium. It's like
it
the,
would, if
the,
they said the
diabetes,
U.S. Bank
the chicken
Stadium
pucks.
Site, I would understand that. But I don't want you saying, are they playing at the U.S. Bank Stadium? People will make fun of you. I don't want you to be made fun of. I care about you.
Thank you.
Don't say the.
All right.
In fact, I might go so far as to say, we need to stop saying the in general. How much time have we wasted? How much time on a daily basis do we waste saying the stupid word the?
Or the.
Hoity-toity.
The.
That's a fancy. That's a power play. Somebody says the, that's a power play. The U.S. Bank Stadium?
I have something else to share with you.
Please.
You know how we were all making fun of Justin Timberlake's, the title of his new album, Man of the Woods?
Yeah.
And then we listened to the songs and we were like, this doesn't feel like it fits the title of the album. Justin Timberlake, of course, is the halftime entertainment at the Super Bowl at U.S. Bank Stadium. And now we know why he named it Man of the Woods.
Okay, I need some insight here.
Okay, here we go. Here he is talking about it.
We got back together, Pharrell and I, and we were talking about where do we start? And... we were talking about parenthood, and he said, he said, what's your son's name? And I said, Silas. He said to me, he said, what does your son's name mean? And I was like, you know, I don't know. And I literally just went on Google, like, meaning of the name Silas. And it sent me to this site. And it said, of Latin origin, meaning man of the woods. And I was like, how serendipitous that my last name is Timberlake. Like, what does that mean? And like, we were having all these discussions. Yeah. And he goes, man, you know what? That's a really, really good name for a song. And I was like, that's a really good name for an album.
Boom. You kind of have to appreciate it now at this point.
I feel like he's painted us into a corner.
I do.
Oh, that's really cute.
I know.
Really nice.
Because the album name is still dumb.
But it was, well, I didn't mind the album name until I heard his first song, Filthy. Ryan, maybe we can grab a little bit of Filthy real quick, because he came out, if you remember, first there was the teaser video.
Yes.
And it was Justin Timberlake, and he was out. He looked like a man of the woods. He was in up to his waist in a pond, and then he didn't have a shirt on, and then there was a bonfire, and then he was walking through a field of grass or wheat, and then he was in corn stalks, and then there was timber, and then this was the first song that came out.
And the video is so futuristic.
Yeah. This felt more like Future Sex Love Sounds.
Yes.
Less man of the woods. So that was my only beef, was there seemed to be a disconnect. But maybe now that we know it's just the meaning of his son Silas's name,
then that's all it means.
All bets are off.
Man
Don't
of the
go
woods.
In expecting any particular sound. It's probably a mixture of all sorts of
things. I think he did
sounds.
Say it is a mixture of this. There's some more country-inspired type of stuff, which is what we were expecting.
Because he's a boy from Memphis, and he has long said that he wants to work Southern rock into the sound of his
which is why
music.
He's collaborated with Chris Stapleton on the Grammys.
But then this was so... I mean, this song still hasn't hit for me. It's growing slowly.
It's a club song. It's a song that you just, you know, you have on in the background at the club, or you're cranking it.
Some songs don't sound good in your car, but yes, if they come on at a club and that bass starts thumping, you feel totally different about them.
Agreed. All right, when we come back, something about Skittles that might make you mad. I know it kind of, I kind of feel duped.
I might go so far as to say it could rewrite your childhood.
And your adulthood. Maybe.
In all the
wrong
ways.
Maybe it's very deceitful. We'll get to that. With things that make you go, huh. Coming up next on My Talk 107.1. Good morning, y'all. If you're a lover of Skittles and you love the taste of those grape Skittles and those...
Grape ones are the best ones, right?
Oh, and the red ones, delicious cherry. Well,
get a yellow one, lemony.
You are in for a big old disappointment.
It's just things that make you go, y'all. We're starting hard here.
All right.
Yeah, right
Skittles.
Skittles,
this is
talk,
really
y'all.
Disappointing. I did not know this. You may have known this. I didn't know it. I'm really hurt.
According to a neuropsychologist named Don Katz.
Oh, I love Don's work.
Even though it seems unbelievable, all Skittles, I repeat, all Skittles are the same flavor.
No!
A generic fruit taste. So, why do you think they taste different? Look, you look so sad, Donna.
I am.
Here's why you think this. Our brains associate their colors with certain tastes. So we know intellectually it's supposed to mean that I have a yellow one, so it's going to be lemony. So we think that yellow tastes like lemon. But no, it is the same generic fruit taste. And there's more.
I don't think my heart can handle any more.
I'm giving it to you anyways.
All right.
Skittles are scented. Now, this is where I think it gets a little bit confusing. So when you bite that yellow Skittle, your brain sees the yellow color, starts to associate it with a flavor already, smells a certain smell, and you believe that you're eating a lemon flavor. So why don't they make the actual flavors? That's what you're asking. That's what we're all asking, nay, demanding.
I'm thinking it has something to do with money.
Katz says, quote, it is cheaper to make things smell and look different than it is to actually make them taste different. Donna Valentine, what say you?
First, Skittles. What's next? Jelly Belly jelly beans? This ain't right.
Now, we've known this about M&M's, right? M&M's, same flavor.
Well,
right? The green M&M tastes like the red M&M.
Yeah. That's just for show.
But Skittles, you know,
Starburst.
Why would we suggest that we're eating different flavors in Skittles? It couldn't be because of the marketing campaign, Taste the Rainbow. By that, do you mean taste one generic fruit flavor?
Thank you.
What do you have to do to sue a major company? That's my knee-jerk reaction.
What do you call it?
Class action lawsuit.
Yes.
And what do we do? What do we get in return? I don't want money. I want flavors. I want individual flavors.
Somebody get Steven Tyler on the horn.
Why?
Because he promotes Skittles. Remember the big old Super Bowl commercial where he's like, and they all fall out of the picture?
I forgot that.
It's a good one.
Good one.
Good stuff right there.
We'll get Steven Tyler on the line.
He might not even know the truth about Skittles.
Anyways, things that make you go, huh, right there. All Skittles are the same flavor. You can rewrite your own childhood based off of that. I got a few more for you, my friends. The Wizard of Oz. That's a movie I've probably, before I had kids, and now I've seen certain movies a gazillion times because they have them on a lot. The Wizard of Oz was the movie that I had seen more than any other movie throughout my life.
No kidding.
My mom would clean this building that was connected to the church that we went to.
Yeah.
She would clean it every week, and I would have to go down into their basement. It was a finished basement. And she would just say, just put on Wizard of Oz. And so I'd get through about two showings of The Wizard of Oz while she would clean it every week.
How old were you?
Five to
what
seven.
What about those monkeys?
Yeah, what about those monkeys?
Ma!
They horrified me. I had nightmares all the time.
I'm dying over here.
I'd have nightmares, and then I would cry, and they would come in, and then they would say a little prayer for me, and if that didn't calm me down, then I would weasel my way into the bed. My dad was never a big fan of that, as I created a physical wedge between he and my mother. Other times, he would say, fine, you can come in, but you have to sleep on the ground, and then we'd have to sleep on the ground.
On the ground.
Next to...
Don't call it the ground.
On the floor, sorry. It's unpaved. It's mud. I would sleep on
rocks.
The floor, but and sometimes, you know, it would happen. My brother then would be scared. He'd be like, what are you going to do? You're going to leave me in here? So I would put on my blanket, wrap it around my neck as though I was a king, and he would get underneath it and walk behind me, shuffling in, and we thought, they don't even know that there's two of us here, because I've hidden him under the train of my robe.
So what now about the Wizard of Oz?
That's a fair question. The snow in the Wizard of Oz? Pure asbestos. The Wicked Witch's broom and the Scarecrow's costume, also made with asbestos.
What do you mean, made with asbestos?
I mean that it was made with asbestos, and the snow that you saw was asbestos. I'm not requesting or expecting follow-up questions. I'm letting you know that there was asbestos running rampant, and they all probably contracted some sort of terrible illness as a result.
Yeah, you think? Okay, well, they didn't know what we know today.
No.
About
yeah, and they would say, oh, you know what it'll look like, snow? Asbestos. It'll later cause cancer. But boy, what snow it looks like now. Here's another fact that'll make you go, huh. Refried beans?
Oh, I love refried beans.
Bad news. They're only fried once. The name comes from a mistranslation of the Spanish name frijoles refritos, which means well-fried beans.
Oh.
Meaning some white guy somewhere along the line saw refritos.
Oh, yeah.
And said, I bet that means refried. Probably one of your friends, Donna.
I'm sure of it.
Refried beans only fried once. Do you still feel the same way about refried beans?
I do. Okay. Do you like refried beans?
Not a big fan of beans. You have to know your limits, my friends. And beans cause me problems. They hurt my tummy.
Gotcha.
Here's another one. A city called Dull, D-U-L-L, in Scotland, is sister cities with a city called Boring in Oregon.
Oh, that's cute.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah. Huh.
I think that's, yeah. Huh. I'm sure that at the water cooler today when conversation starts to slow with Patty. Patty, step your game up already. And I'm talking to all of you, Patties.
You too, Diane.
This is interesting. Neil Armstrong and the crew from Apollo 11, they had to fill out customs forms when they returned from the moon. Isn't that great?
Why?
Because if you're going to declare lunar rocks, we need to know about it. Can't bring soil in from Mexico, so I don't want you bringing lunar rocks from the moon.
That's really interesting.
Customs is the worst.
Ugh,
I think we need to outlaw
customs. I know.
And
how about when you hit that button and you know whether or not they're going to go through your luggage or not?
When do you feel more vulnerable and naked than when you're standing before a customs agent who he or she wields all the power of whether or not to let you back into the country that you call home. And then they stamp it so loud. Blood finally rushes back to your
feet.
They have
that really mean look on their face. They try to act like there's, you know, they're going to yell at you any minute. Then they have those drug sniffing dogs all over the place.
I know what you're saying. Steve, there's no way that you have one more thing that'll make you go,
huh?
Data! Hewlett Packard?
Yeah.
Could have been called Packard Hewlett. Bill Hewlett and Dave Packard flipped a coin.
They did not.
To decide whose name would go first. You and I, we should have done that. But you wielded all the power. You went into a no-holds-barred negotiation with B. Arthur and said, it's Donna and Steve or I walk. And here we are on the Donna and Steve Show.
Those were fun, Steve. Thank you. More on the Donna and Steve Show coming up momentarily, like Ricky Gervais talking about hosting the Golden Globes again and how that would have been the end of him, the end of his career. We've got that and more coming up in TV news up next on My Talk. Love. Good morning. How are you? Happy Friday. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. It's Donna and Steve. My Talk 107.1.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being you.
Boy, Ed Sheeran
he's
is
the
just
best.
Irritating me every time I hear
What
this.
Is your beef with Ed Sheeran, aside from the fact that he tends to rip off other people's songs?
I think I just, when I hear him on this show, when we're trying to bring the fun, high energy, happy Friday, everybody, and then Ed hits you with some melodramatic, sappy song, it sucks the energy right out of me.
Now, it brings me joy, great joy. The same way Ricky Gervais brings me joy. I love Ricky Gervais. He was just on with Stephen Colbert, and he was talking about how the Golden Globes, if he were to host again, it would have been the end of his career. I don't think so.
You spoke
with him not that long ago.
And he's been open about wishing that he had hosted the Golden Globes because of everything that was going on this year. He's a guy who knows how to roast Hollywood on a normal year, much less a year when a lot of Hollywood's, especially leading men or big powerful figures, needed some roasting, deserved some roasting.
Yes.
It would have been a decidedly different Golden Globes telecast than with what Seth Meyers
There
did.
Would have been no, what's the expression? No holds barred. Yeah,
no
he would
barred.
Not have even thought twice about some being inappropriate with his jokes because, you know, that's his thing and he's really good at it. And Colbert asked him about it.
Okay, you made quite a splash over the years hosting the Golden Globes. How many times?
Four
times, okay.
Yeah.
This year was kind of a... We're applauding the number four.
Yeah.
And this year was a very prominent year for the Golden Globes. I think Seth did a really lovely job.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, when they were writing about it, said, like, you know, given the Me Too or the Time's Up movement, thank God Ricky Gervais didn't host it this year. He would have been too irreverent. Or I wish he had, because we would have seen, you know, more irreverence. Like, what would you have done this year?
I was jealous of Seth. I thought, it'd been an amazing year to do it. I mean, it'd been the end of my career, but who cares? Again.
We all die.
Yeah, we all die.
We all die.
That's what I think every now I perform. I think, it doesn't matter, I'm going to die soon. So, it doesn't matter. I think that's why I've done the best stand-up ever, because I'm so close to death. But I think, what's the worst that can happen to me? You know what I mean? Someone being offended now is nothing. I go, so what? I'm going to die.
That's one way of looking at it. He is so funny to me. Just hearing him talk about virtually anything.
I know.
It's just funny.
I know. And he's really smart, too. And then I believe Stephen goes on to ask him if anything would be off limits.
Like the things you wanted to talk about, like, but it's a very sensitive subject.
More sensitive, the better. That's the fun for me, talking about irreverent and sensitive and taboo subjects, because there's nothing you shouldn't joke about. There's no subject you shouldn't joke about. It depends on the actual joke and the target. And people get offended when they mistake the subject of a joke with the actual target, and they're not necessarily the same. So, and some people are offended, fine, you know. Just because you're offended, it doesn't mean you're right. Some people are offended by equality.
Hmm. What do you think about that? Is anything off limits?
I think some things are off limits.
You do?
Yeah. I mean, but I understand the general sentiment that he's talking about. And this is an interesting time for comedians too, because they cut their teeth and make their living on nothing is sacred, and you can talk about anything.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
There is a sensitivity to I think certain topics where you might not want to go.
Well, this is interesting. I was reading an article a while ago, and I just found it. And one comedian said that by laughing at something inappropriate, we honor the awfulness of whatever it is we are laughing at and also acknowledge our distance from it, which I think is a really interesting way.
Yeah.
He says the disconnect between our horror at suffering and our relief that we're not the ones suffering is what's funny. And laughing about it helps bridge that gulf.
Yeah.
It's conflicting emotions, you know?
Yes. I'm thinking about terrible things that you should not.
Tragedies and yeah.
Yeah. Bad crimes. There have been a lot of rape allegations made, things like that. I just don't think that joke ever becomes funny. However, what you're getting at there, that general sentiment that laughter, I think that laughter is really powerful in helping people to process things.
Yes.
And that's right, that it can acknowledge the horror of something while also recognizing the actual distance that we have from it. So I think that
It's a good point. I am not very easily offended. Like I kind of agree with that. I'm like, there are some things when you watch one of those Comedy Central roasts where you cringe.
Yeah, right.
And you go, oh God, I can't believe it. Because it's creating a conflicting emotion in you because you want to laugh. And I like things that make me feel.
Yeah.
And make me try to diagnose what it is that I am feeling.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I understand that. And I'm a guy, I always go for a laugh. I like laughing at just about everything. There's just, for me, a few really touchy ones that I think there
too
is.
Too far.
Yeah. Too far. And the reality of what could have happened could have just been too harmful to someone. So then if there's someone in the room who has gone through something like that.
Right.
Not a good situation.
Right.
Want to talk about money?
I always want to talk about money.
This is interesting. There's an article out talking about how much famous TV families would be making today. So what we mean by that is the role of these iconic television families and the careers that they had in these shows. What would that command? How much loot would they be making today in 2018?
Okay, so I get what you're saying. Whatever their career was in their role. That's right. What we're talking about, the profession.
For instance, the Brady Bunch.
Okay.
Let's go back to the Brady Bunch. Mr. Brady was an architect, okay? He had about 10 to 14 years of experience, which means he would be making around, any guesses?
Back then or today?
Today. This is all today. What would these TV families be making today?
It was 10 to 14 years experience. $120,000.
$90,000. You know,
not
too far off. Not too far off.
No.
Now, The Cosby Show. Boy, talking about taboo. I mean, boy, Bill Cosby. Remember Bill Cosby? We'll be hearing more about him whenever that trial comes back up. But there's a lot of stuff that's happening there. You know, they banned The Cosby Show. Was off of television for some time after the Bill Cosby allegations came out. It is on, I believe, TV One, I think is the name of the network. So if you are like me, where I still want to watch The Cosby Show, I love The Cosby Show. I laughed out loud just about every episode of The Cosby Show that I saw.
Did
if you can separate the art from the artist, it is still somewhere out there on TV. But let's talk about the loot that the Huxtables would be rolling in here. The original plan was for the Huxtables in The Cosby Show to just be a blue-collar family. That did not end up happening. An obstetrician in a private practice in New York City, Cliff Huxtable, would be pulling in about, nowadays, $250,000 a year. And then his wife, Claire.
What did she do? I can't remember.
She was a partner at a law firm. She would be making at least $250,000, which means that the Huxtable family would be bringing in about $500,000 a year. Come on now.
Yeah, and they would need to live in that place they're living in.
Well, this would be an interesting one to see if you can, up in their brownstone. Everybody Loves Raymond. Ray Romano, his character, was a sports reporter. Did you watch Everybody Loves Raymond?
Yeah, I love it.
Okay.
It's one of the funniest shows ever on television.
He was a sports reporter working at a real newspaper called Newsday. That job pays about how much a year here in 2018? How much would Ray Romano be making in Everybody Loves Raymond as a sports reporter?
I would say about the same. He was a sports
reporter for a newspaper.
For a newspaper.
Not on TV.
Okay. $94,000.
Wow. What a specific guess. $90,000.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I did not see this list.
Okay, that's pretty good. This was interesting. Did you watch much of Leave It to Beaver? Was that on in like syndication when you were growing up?
Yes, it was, but I didn't watch it.
Okay. Nobody knows what Ward Cleaver actually did for a living. I guess they never really specified that. They once said that he worked for a trust company. And at one point, his coworker complained that he, Ward Cleaver, has a corner office. Not a lot to go on here. But here's what they have determined. That indicates that he would make something in the low six-figure range today.
Wow.
Leave It to Beaver. The Cleaver's doing just fine.
Is it just because he had the corner office?
The corner office, I think. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Uncle Phil, started the show as a law firm partner, making it at least mid-six figures, possibly in the millions, depending on how senior a partner he ended up being. And then Aunt Viv is a professor at UCLA, which pays somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 grand a year.
Wow.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Dang. You know, when I...
Wow.
I used to live out in Los Angeles, and a few times we would do our own self-guided tour of star homes and iconic TV locations. There's a lot of controversy about whether or not you can actually find the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air house. We think we found it one time, but then they say that they only use the back of one house and a different part of the front of another house when they showed it back and forth. Anyways.
Very common.
Do you want another one, or are you totally bored with this?
I want one more.
All right. I'm going to go to Black-ish. Okay. Hit show on ABC. As an advertising executive, we're talking about what these TV families would actually be making in these shows. As an advertising executive, Dre makes somewhere in the six figures. A lot of six figures out there.
That's
golly.
Good.
While
that's
an great. Anesthesiologist like Bo.
That's a lot of money.
Can command around $400,000.
Damn.
So the family on Black-ish. Doing just fine.
Yeah, they are.
Doing just
fine. Thanks, Steve.
Boy, I'd like to be an anesthesiologist. Thanks. I did all of that research all on my own.
Yeah, that's a really, I would be really afraid as an anesthesiologist because it's so very specific.
Oh, yeah.
You just can't get it wrong.
You mess that up. They never wake up from sleepy time.
Correct.
There's your downer.
There you go.
Didn't know if we'd get there.
$400,000, that's pretty good.
We got there.
So we're going to put someone in timeout. More specifically, you're going to put an entire TV show in timeout.
It's a TV show that I didn't know if it could get any more egregious, any more ridiculous. Oh, but they have.
But
and they're
they
going
have.
To timeout.
Yeah, we'll get to that coming up next on My Talk 107.1.
Sorry.
There's no singing.
Oh, I love it here.
Steve Patterson, no. Hey, welcome back. It is Donna and Steve, and Steve is about to put an entire television program into timeout.
You've been a naughty boy.
You've been bad.
I might have to put you on timeout.
I think somebody needs a timeout.
You're going into a timeout.
I might have to put you on timeout.
Time for Donna and Steve to put somebody in timeout.
Timeout. Timeout.
Not just somebody
time
this
out.
Time.
I might have to put you on timeout.
A whole show. I've had it.
Is it this show? Is it?
I'm putting you and me, Ryan, too. Time out.
All right, we'll be back.
listen to this, guys. Bachelor, Bachelorette, as a franchise, as a television institution, go to the corner. You're in timeout. Let me explain why. ABC wants to do a mass bachelor wedding. This is problematic.
Yes. No, this is great.
No. Okay. And Ryan, you have insight here because you watch the show and care about the show.
This will be great.
This is the deal. Apparently, ABC and producers they want to kind of perpetuate the fantasy that these lucky suitors always end up finding the one. So they're going to see if they can do a little something together. Us Magazine says ABC wants to do a, quote, mass bachelor wedding. And by a mass wedding, they are talking about three couples. What three couples? From The Bachelorette, Caitlin Bristow and Sean Booth. Also, JoJo Fletcher and Jordan Rogers.
Mm.
As well as Rachel Lindsay and Brian Abasolo.
Oh, those two are still together, huh?
I don't even know if that's how you say his name. They're all still engaged. And so their idea is maybe, just maybe, everybody loves the... More is more, I suppose. Usually more is less, but they like just put a whole grip of girls or guys and make them all go after the same person and blah, blah, blah. I've never understood it. I know I am in the minority. A lot of people love it, and it's all sorts of wonderful train wreck television to watch. But what do you think of this mass wedding. And by the way, they're open to the idea of adding Ari, the current season of The Bachelor's man, with whoever he makes it out of there with. So it could grow to a four-person mass bachelor slash bachelorette wedding.
No.
Yes.
No, Ryan. Yes. No, Ryan is a big fan of The Bachelor.
I would say big fan.
You are. You never miss an episode.
I consume it every Monday.
Ryan, let's say this. You are our biggest fan of The Bachelor. We turn to you for Bachelor info. I'm putting them in timeout. This is a bad idea. You stay there and think about what you have done. Ryan, tell me why I'm wrong.
Because you're going to see all this joy and all this fake nonsense and production quality of these weddings. And then a month or year later, we're going to see them all divorced. And we'll be all like, I told you so.
Oh, my gosh, that's horrible.
And we're just going to laugh and laugh and laugh. And it's going to be fantastic.
No.
We're going to watch those. Oh, look how happy they were. They had no idea that they sucked for each other.
So you're already booking the follow-up show, which is the divorce.
I think they should have done it a long time ago.
Do it all at the same table, a whole group of lawyers.
Bachelor divorce.
This is awful. You're awful. What's wrong with our country?
You really are.
No, The Bachelor is what's wrong with our country, okay, but so I'm countering it.
Speaking from the perspective of the bride,
I don't want
to be getting married with a bunch of other people. This is my day.
You're competing against another beautiful woman.
Yes.
Oh, wait, and there's another, and maybe another too?
Yes, and I don't want all these other people in my pictures
what
for the rest
say?
Of my life.
Is it just we do? Is that a unison thing?
Yeah.
That they're saving time?
I mean, if you've ever been a part of a group wedding, give us a call, 651-641-1071. I know they do this at the Mall of America every now and then.
Yeah.
They'll do like a big old wedding in the rotunda.
Yeah.
I mean, would you want to do that? No, right?
No. Oh, goodness,
it's
no.
It's awful. And Ari, no. He's definitely not allowed.
Yeah, while we're in the timeout corner, Ari, you stay there for the rest of the season. I don't trust you.
Nobody likes
this guy. I'm not sure. Now, the thing that I'm pulling for here is there is a local girl from Prior Lake.
Mm-hmm.
I believe her name is Becca.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of people are saying she has got the good stuff and she could be in this one for the long haul. So I could be swayed if we had a local delightful lady involved in this. But by and large, the idea of a mass bachelor slash bachelorette wedding gets both of those shows in timeout.
I agree. I guess they've been kicking this idea around for a while. I don't like it at all. I think ABC they've really got to maybe let go of this show.
Mm-mm.
Oh.
It can go on forever.
It's really getting out of control. It's like, okay, you conquer one thing and it's like, we always have to find something else. Like, what's the next gimmick? What's the next gimmick? I'm so sick of gimmicks.
I think they need to innovate it more. I would love to see a gay bachelor or bachelorette.
Okay, I'm down with that.
That's a tremendous concept.
Yeah.
We could take it a step further. Maybe a UK, just strictly it's in the United Kingdom, bachelor, bachelorette.
You know what I would like to see?
Bachelor in space.
Okay, we're not going to space.
Oh, I'd watch that crap. Elon Musk.
Here's what I would like to see. I would like to see older couples.
Oh, that's an interesting twist.
But I don't know that the masses want to see that. But
I would.
I think it would be interesting to see them, what they do on dates and how they court one another. Is there making out going on?
I hope so.
Is there touchy-feely going on?
Yeah, wrinkles on wrinkles.
Oh,
I'd love it.
Like Martha Stewart. I would like to see someone like Martha Stewart.
Celebrity bachelor.
Do you want
celebrity
this to bachelor? Be someone's a second marriage? Or maybe just, I think the stakes
again.
Are higher. No, that's a good title. But what if it's someone, everyone knows someone lovely in their circle.
Yes.
Who maybe has never been married. And you think that person's just lovely. And
right.
They deserve to have a mate.
Like I know you guys, are working on that for me.
Yeah, we're actively pursuing it. If you would like to date Donna, by the way, 651-641-1071. Phone lines are open until noon. We would love to know why you should date Donna Valentine.
No,
phone lines are closed.
You tell me when you're ready to go in that direction, Donna, and I can open the phones.
No.
Do not, don't busy those lines. We want to hear from the people. 651-641-1071.
No, we don't.
I do.
You're in timeout.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
That's not how this works.
But I do think, okay, if they're going to do something, don't do this type of thing. Do something that you haven't done before that's actually has meaning. And I think, you know, doing the gay couple, I like that idea. That's cool. Doing the older person, doing a celebrity.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
Why not?
I guess what this is doing is this is doubling down on, you say do something with meaning. This doubles down on what I think there is no meaning in these bachelor relationships, because would you ever actually say yes to someone who proposed to you right after he broke up with another person?
Oh, God, no.
I mean, yeah, so it's ridiculous. So
exactly.
They're doubling down on this is all silly. We will let you know if anything ever comes of a mass bachelor and bachelorette wedding as being reported by Us Magazine. But for now, they're staying in timeout.
Yeah, they are. Hey, want to give you a heads up. We're going to be speaking with actress Mackenzie Marsh, who you actually know, Steve.
Yeah, and a friend of mine. I used to act with her back in the old college days. She's gone on to bigger and better things. She guest starred in Will and Grace last night. We'll chat with her at 11:30.
Yay. But coming up next, we're going to get to the beat. We've got music news. Kids Bop 37 is out.
Yeah. Finally.
We'll sample some of that coming up next on My Talk 107.1.